Yeah, so Shuey for quite some time actually had the worst T-side rating of any player. Genuinely could not do anything on the T-side. And like if you looked at his KPR numbers for a while, he was genuinely around like 0.4. Like it was
Fucking
terrible.
hell. Right, we have returned for Roster Mechanic, your new favourite show that you didn't know was going to be your new favourite show, and now isn't even that new, but it is still your favourite show, and even if you didn't know it was your favourite show. And if you actually don't think it's your favourite show, you know what? I'm never wrong. I'm just early. So give it time. It's a slow burn. It'll grow on you. Right, this is an episode where I think a lot of people are going to think, well, what are they going to talk about this one? Team Liquid and all their problems. Everyone's talked it to death, haven't they? As Dust said, it was an apt pun, wasn't it? Just beating a dead horse at this point in time. Yeah, it is. But that's the whole point of this show, guys. This show will actually enlighten you as to what other things we can consider around the team, other than like, can Ultimate hit an AWP shot? Did Elige get enough frags on a scoreboard? Should Flashy say more stuff in a timeout? You know, all the sort of really surface level stuff we all do. Mainly because also you have to remember on talk shows, oftentimes the other people on the talk show only get introduced to that topic then. They don't think for 3 hours beforehand. So they come, whatever's off the top of their head basically is what they're going with. They're not doing a deep dive. So we are going to do a deep dive. And of course, Loz has brought a bunch of graphs and he's used the dual swing. By the way, actually, at the beginning, I'll just say one quick thing. If no one saw the episode of Hitshot TV Come Here He Comes on, even Nero himself basically gives up and says that he thinks dual swing is way better than round swing. Because unfortunately, round swing, especially because there's a weird detail a lot of fans don't know, it has to be instantly calculated because right the second the game ends, people want to see the scoreboard and want to see all those stats. Whereas, so as a result, HLTV, I don't know if people know this, just takes the log of like, this person killed this person, this person killed this person. They take that and then take all that data out of it using whatever algorithms they use. Loz actually has a degree in machine learning and uses a machine learning tool that actually looks at the demo and takes all this stuff. So as a result, he is able to go with this tool like way deeper. And that's why sometimes you get these things, which I think has become your specialty, of like, actually, here's a play you think sucks, but in this one area, he's insane because no one looked at that area or considered it contextual to whatever, however many guns he has or how much he getting resources, etc. So in light of that, here's what I think we do to start with on this. Instead of starting at the surface level where we've all talked, let's just start with something really out there. What would be the most unlikely or most, do you think, most enlightening angle on Team Liquid?
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually wanted to start somewhere slightly different. I wanted to start with a bit of a thought exercise.
Okay.
And it's a little bit wild, but it will make sense. Imagine you have been hired as Team Liquid's general manager, but you're a secret double agent. And whoever's hired you, maybe it's a rival org or something.
Okay.
Their goal for you is to systematically destroy Liquid's CS division from the inside without making it obvious. Think about the kinds of moves that you would make.
Okay.
Step one, I think you would sign an AWPer that's clearly very, very, very bad by pretty much every known metric, but make sure he's really young. So you've got to give him loads of time to develop.
Right.
You know, you can't change
okay.
him. Maybe even say that, you know, he's got a great personality. All the others might be toxic and
yeah,
this
yeah.
kind of thing. Step two, sign an IGL who's only ever really performed under some of the greatest coaches in the modern era, right? Shuey, he played under Ashe. Then he played under Cycrone. Those are where we saw the best from Shuey.
Yeah, yeah.
People were saying, you know, he should go to FaZe under them, right? But ever since that...
Which now looks like the worst take ever, of course, for exactly the reason you're saying.
Exactly. And so we know that that guy needs a coach to perform well.
Yes.
So don't give him one. Give him one of the most inexperienced right. coaches ever that
okay.
was actually just sort of an assistant coach, right, under Blade.
Yeah, yeah.
And doesn't really have that kind of authority to, like, wrangle the players together to trust these guys' calls. And in the process of doing all that, you completely tank your star player, your franchise player in Elige's stats. Because Elige is a kind of player that really thrives under systems, right? He's a systems thinker.
Yes.
He likes to play in an organized, like, think about all the things he's complained about, maybe
yeah,
in
yeah.
FaZe, for example, right? It's the messy comms. It's people making plays on their own without any real logic to them, the lack of a plan.
I think it was implied to me by Zeus. I think he probably said this publicly, but I know he told me this in a way that's not confidential. He said that one thing he liked about Elige was the guy who basically did his homework and would come to like a scrim session and be like, right, here's like the iPad. I've got these things that I want to talk. And so, yeah, like, by the way, that's very rare for players. It sounds like he thrives off that stuff, yeah.
Yeah, I can say, like, from the brief conversations I've had with Elish, he's a guy that cares deeply about analyzing games, self-reflection, routines, this kind of thing, right? He partners with Refrag because he loves
Of
making sure that he's
course.
doing his daily things. So you put all of these things together, and the evil org that's commissioned you're a made man now. You've done such an excellent job that they're very happy with you, right? And obviously, this is all just a joke. This hasn't actually happened. But it does kind of tell you a bit of a story about why Liquid is so bad now, right? And why they're so crippled. Like, you put all these facts together, and like, you kind of can conjure up a story about someone malevolent doing this,
All right, I'll
right?
tell you what then. I know where we start then. I think we do start at the Elish one. Because as said, right, if you're a fan only looking at HLTV rating or even the games, your first thought is, even though if you're an Elish fan, you're like, but wait, he was dope in Call. He was pretty good in FaZe. He just didn't fit the culture and something about the style. But then in Liquid, where you hoped he would go and frag out, and obviously this whole topic was one of my angles of like, if you get Malbs, at least he'll have a setup man, being. Elise is supposed to hard carry now. He's supposed to put up crazy numbers, and he doesn't really. And actually, if you even watch the games, even he looks a bit hesitant. How are we going to craft and frame Elise?
Yeah, so what's interesting about Elige, at least from my perspective, I think Elige is a player who thrives the best when he isn't having to be too sacrificial. He's getting to do a lot of the mid-rounding. He's getting to be a secondary voice. And on the T side especially, he's getting to kind of do that kind of space taking where you're not having to just be an entry, but you're more like a star space taker, right? This for me is the kind of profile that makes a player like Elige great. He's good in the pack, he's good trading, but not necessarily being like the first man in. And interestingly, if you look at just the Cologne stats, let's go to the very last graph here, Cologne 2026 space taking. When Molbs came into this team, the idea
Fucking
was
hell.
Elige would be the guy that was like doing the kind of second man in,
Yes.
star space taking. Molbs would be the entry guy. It's the opposite. They're doing it completely the opposite way. Elige is like 35% of the time the first man into a bomb site.
That's crazy.
Molbs is the guy that's playing a bit more in like the star aggressive rifler
By the
mold.
way, since I know people do want us to do this every now and then, this will just be an appropriate moment. Who are the people near Elise on the graph there? Like, what sorts of players are those?
Yeah, so like a lot of them, obviously they're like the blue dots, right? Which means star rifler in this. So these are very, very aggressive riflers. A lot of them, it kind of varies map to map, but a lot of them are like people like Jello, for example, from
Right.
Paradigm,
Okay.
right?
It's almost like a hard entry sometimes. Yeah, sure.
People like Hiyasuke, right, on Falcons. These are the kind of player that you're thinking about.
Right.
And the players that are closer to Molbs, that's more like Immer. That's more like
Fucking hell.
Nico, for example. At least before, some of the recent role swaps.
Yes.
So yeah, one is definitely a lot more of like a star position, one is a bit more sacrificial. And what I found really interesting, I don't really understand like why they fall into this pattern, but if you actually go back to the Austin Major as well, I've got a chart that's Blast Austin Major space taking. Elige is doing the same thing here. Like, people have this
Yes.
misconception about Rain, where Rain, they think Rain was just this like purely
Yes.
sacrificial like supportive
If you
element that
notice, I
just
don't
run
call
him
it,
first.
people tend to call him an entry, you notice. I always said he was more the support element. Yeah, true.
But he wasn't doing that kind of like pure bomb site entry stuff. He
Yes.
was actually a bit of a lurker. He was like an
Yeah.
aggressive lurker, more in the old Nico mold. And so even in FaZe, Elige was put into these kind of positions that, at least from my perspective, I don't think are the best for him to succeed, right? So it looks like he's been willing to take on a bit more of a sacrificial bend and maybe not like sacrifice his own game to do what the team needs more.
Yes.
And that's true. That was true in FaZe. That's true in Liquid
Yeah.
now.
By the way, I'll even say, since you referenced it earlier, that's even a thing that is really misunderstood about Elige. Because, sadly, this was one of my narratives because it's true. Like, in his own way, he can be difficult because he can be, let's say, sulky or a little bit moody, or he's not the guy who's. But he's conflict averse. That's one way to say it, too, right? Sadly, people take that as he's a diva who says, my way or the highway, give me all the resources. But that's never been who he is, bro. Like, I actually do agree in FaZe. But it's I talked to him in FaZe and was just like, why are you going in first sometimes, mate? What is this? Like, you're already the best rifle on the team. Why wouldn't someone else go and then you bait off them, etc.? So I would, if I had to intuit what you're talking about, I would imagine when Malbus has come in, he's actually just decided, you know what, Malbus, I'll sacrifice for you. You go off, mate. You can get your game back. It sounds like it.
And it does kind of make sense. Like Malbs has definitely been the highest performer on this
It's
team. We'll
popped
get to
off
that
recently,
slightly
yeah.
later. But just to do a bit of armchair psychology for a second, I think I can kind of understand the process that a player like Elige has and why he's struggling so much in this Liquid team. Because the problem with these people that are like geniuses when it comes to self-reflecting and like analyzing in any kind of sport, right, is that they're essentially masters at pattern recognition. That's what's going on in their brain. And when you are someone that has such an acute sense of pattern recognition, if you are in a team that consistently lets you down, that consistently fails in key situations, it changes the way you think as a member of that team. So imagine you are a Liege and you've seen Ultimate mess up clutches so many times. You've seen 3v3s thrown away. You've seen, these sort of really messy T sides that we see and have come to expect from Liquid now, where there's clearly not any sort of plan and people are just taking individual gunfights that aren't tradable. When you're a Liege in that situation, what you're learning, even if you try your absolute hardest to avoid it, is that I can't trust my teammates. And it's not that he's like being a diva, it's not that he doesn't want to trust them. I'm sure he's done everything in his power too. But again, if you've got this really acute pattern recognition, you can't turn it off. And so it changes the way you think from, I've done my job. I can just get one and that will be enough to, oh, I needed to get two or three there. We can't win now because, again, even though it's not that he's deliberately doing this, it does change the way you play
Sure.
when you have this sense of my teammates just aren't good enough for this.
Yes. I'll also say as well, maybe players who are fans wouldn't understand this, but what I always tell people, there is a level to which, even though certainly you have to conceptually understand CS on a higher level than a casual, at the same time, there are some players who are basically just normal people, but just with good aim at CS, and they just have better aim than you. And so a lot of the human foibles come into play. And I can tell you, actually, there's a lot of pro players. Actually, the worst thing you can ever do to the team could be the same in all the tournaments, but if they lose scrims, like you're saying, people will lose faith in themselves. They'll even start doing really, really bad pattern recognition. Like, just because I died here and now we lost the map, I must have done it wrong. Even if you look at it, you go, no, you did it right. Like, the teammate didn't finish it off. I mean, but I've even seen this with IGLs where they're calling a brilliant first half a round. They're getting on the bomb site and then every dickhead player fucks up the post plant and then they think the strat was wrong. It's like, I shouldn't have gone to that site. It's like, what are you talking about, mate? You did your part. Again, you can't be results orientated in that sense. Put it this way,
Yeah,
is the obvious fix here then? We should actually do something like what people thought was going to happen, like Malbs is the setup for a Liege. Would it be something like that? Is there a different player? Is there a way we can move a Liege back to where he would be like more of the playmaker type figure?
I genuinely don't know. I'm actually very pessimistic about this team. I
Right.
don't think this team Liquid has any future without changing at least three of the players. That might
Right.
include the coach, but at least two players in the coach. I don't know if there's any way back with this current five. And yeah, just to, I'm a big fan of chess, right? And when you think about players of any sport, not necessarily just CS, you always have people on the spectrum where some are like incredibly analytical, they're grinders, they
Sure.
like to think all the time. Others are very intuitive, right? Think about Magnus Carlsen. He's not necessarily the biggest like analyst.
No,
He's not
no.
thinking about chess all the time. He's just very, very intuitive. You have players like that. And on the other end, you have players like a Liege. And players like a Liege need structure, as we've mentioned. And so I just want to pull your attention to the current Liquid space taking graph. Because we mentioned when we did the Paravision episode, right? One of the main features of Paravision is that they don't really take map control as much as the average team, right? They're not necessarily taking map control, going for individual fights, like claiming as much territory as they can in these rounds. Liquid are the opposite. Liquid are above the line by quite some margin for how much map control they want to take. They are, and this happens if you watch their T side all the time, right? You'll see people just going for these 1v1 fights, people trying to like push here, push there, and it's not necessarily very coordinated. And I think that's a nightmare if you're a player like a Liege, because you're thinking, there's nothing I can do, there's nothing I can say to sort of wrangle these people into doing something that makes sense together. They're just playing for themselves, they're just dying in these weird, untradeable spots. And again, anyone that's seen a Liquid demo can sort of intuit this. You don't even need the stat, but it makes sense when you see it on a statistic like this.
One thing from looking at some of your graphs that I'm already a bit disturbed by, because another angle I feel like is an Liege angle, but then it can springboard elsewhere, is one of the first things I genuinely think about, and this is not on some, like, you're just a Liege fan. No, if you just think of his recent history, right? If you remember, at the end of Liquid was at the end of Nitro's tenure when people decided he wasn't a top IGL anymore. Then they basically went to like a bit of Yekindar, but before he fully took over, Liege's numbers dropped off a cliff. Then it was during the first time IGL and basically and put his his feet in the water. Then he went to JT and Colt and looked awesome. Suddenly everything was great again. The whole team clearly was set up around how he played and the things he was doing. I think JT's a good caller. Then he went to Carrigan. They say they had this big conflict. I think that actually that's one of those ones where because he wasn't the vibe fit and they knew they weren't... I mean, the joke is now you'd look back and go, those would be great results for FaZe. But at the time we needed FaZe to win, so those were considered terrible results, you know, coming 5th to 8th or, you know, just winning the odd game. And at the time, people's logic was he doesn't fit with Carrigan, even though I always thought on the T-set he's putting up great numbers. Though, like, if I'm Carrigan, this is a good piece to use. Then he comes over to Shoe here, and one of the most disturbing things when I look at some of your graphs in light of this is I have to immediately ask the question, is Shoe here part of the problem with Elish then? Because when I look at this, here's the thing, when you see Shoe here's numbers, who I believe you've even pointed this out, Shoe here's numbers are worse than Carrigan's at times or as bad, but he's not the guy. Remember what everyone says, Carrigan is the human flashbang. He just runs on and he's like, basically like, or my joke would also be, he's like the laser pointer. He just runs and it's like, right, that's where the enemy is, because they're shooting him so you can see where they are, right? Shoei isn't even doing that as far as I can tell. I assume Shoei must be shit numbers because he's mega sacrificial. He's going, this is terrible. This looks like he's fucking lurking and he's like third in or something. Can you give me some thoughts on this? Like, what do you think that's an element too?
Yeah, so Shoei for quite some time actually had the worst T side. We have our own rating system obviously already. He had the worst T side rating of any player. Genuinely could not do anything on the T side. And like, if you looked at his KPR numbers for a while, he was genuinely around like 0.4. Like,
fucking
it was terrible.
Hell.
Beyond terrible.
And he's even considered a skilled player too, so that's even more nuts.
Yeah, and it's sort of the... I want to call it cope, because we almost now have evidence that it's cope, that a lot of, you know, Shoei defenders were saying, is that, well, when he came into this Liquid team, he sort of sacrificed all his CT roles, right? He started just being like a B anchor on Mirage. He started taking all the classic anchor roles. Now that Mulbs has come into this team, we can just look at the roles here. We can stick the roles up.
Yes.
Mulbs is the guy that's taken... Bianca on Ancient, Bianca on Mirage, Dust 2, Long Anchor. Like, all of these sort of, you know, unfavorable spots that Shoei supposedly didn't want, Mulb's in them now. And where is Shoei? He's actually, like, the secondary rotator on this team now. He's in good spots. And so that makes it even more damning when, as you mentioned, you now look at his CT performance. Has it gotten any better?
Holy shit, yeah, he's connector on Mirage. What?
Yep.
Holy moly.
I don't think people realize how bad it is. A rotator on Dust 2, connector on Mirage, mid on Anubis, one of the best CT maps. Yeah, he's playing... I don't think people realize just how bad it actually is with Shoei, because, you know, he's playing mid on Anubis. That's by far the best CT spot on that map. He's playing A rotator on Dust 2. He's con on Mirage. Like, these are star spots. And he's not putting up numbers commensurate to it at all. In fact, he's putting up numbers that are, like, worse than most IGLs. Let's think about the IGLs we criticize for being too resource-heavy for a second. Think about Hunter. Think about Blitz. They're putting up double his dual swing. They're doing so much better than he is. It's just inexcusable, honestly. And if you look at... It doesn't even matter if you look at their performance overall or if you look at it at the Cologne Major. He's bottom left of every graph, every performance graph.
Right.
His fragging is just inexcusable on this team.
And then another angle to me, I mean, we sort of touched on it earlier, so maybe we'll get this out of the way now, right? In theory, if you already look at the numbers, you're like, hey, Malbs to Liquid's worked. Like, his numbers have gone up. I guess he's back. He must be that guy from G2, right? Even though I always tell people, what's so bizarre about his time on G2 is, can you remember the narrative when he joined? When he joined, because he used to be the star of M80, everyone used to take it as like, nah, they're limiting him, they're making him play anchor on CT, and on T-side, he just has to run in first, because then Nico just trades and then wins the fucking game, doesn't he? And everyone said, this is why it's worst age take in fucking CS for the last few years, as soon as Nico leaves, he'll take all those roles and he'll be the best player, right? Is he somewhat in star positions here, is it implied? And so, relative to his numbers, is he doing well now? It's obviously better, but is he doing well? Is he doing well enough? What do you think about Malbs' current position in the team?
I think Malbs is the only player on this team that's utterly blameless. He's doing fantastic relative to his roles. I mean, we can look at the star points, for example, this Liquid star points graph. Again, if anyone doesn't understand how this works, it's like you combine things like their resources, the positions they play, and you put it into a number that's 1 if they're really low and 5 if they're really high, right? And Shoei on the CT side is like, you know, right in the middle of all the IGLs. He's actually like pretty high. Mulbs is right at the bottom of all the supports. So he's doing all the hard anchor roles. You know, we mentioned it. He's playing long on Dust 2, for example. These are not good positions. And yet, if you look at like role for role, each player... 4 players on this team are underperforming. Mulbs is the only overperformer. He's like the only beating heart left on this team.
And then another thing, when I look at the different graphs you've made, that seems really obvious is, Right, this is why I know what you mean by there's nothing left to do with this squad. Like, even if you take a couple of players from it, this has to be a new team. It's not like add a player, remove... There's no ship of Theseus. Here's why it has to be. Because one of your graphics that you love for the team is obviously team style, right? And in team style, if you go and look at where Liquid is, they would need to literally be like one of the sort of Foots Mongols of the world, where it's like you hit them hard and fast and early and it just works and it's an awesome way. This looks to me, mate, like this is the end of a process where you've tried everything else and now all you can do is like just you go run in, like run in fast now, guys, because we have no fucking clue. We can't play it slow, we can't punish, we can't. Essentially, this looks to me like everything's broken down, mate, and now they're just fucking sending it. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, their style is early contact. They love taking these early gunfights, and they basically have to play like a four-man pack on most two sides. Like, they basically don't give anyone except NAF the permission to sort of lurk and go away, and kind of how can you, right? Because who can you trust to do that on this team? It's a bit of a nightmare, honestly, when you look at each player's like current responsibilities, and like you really do try and think, what could you change to improve any one of these players? And the answer is, I don't know if you can. I think you do just need to do some massive change.
And then similarly, another area of the game, this is why I'm sorry, even though there's not going to be a graphic specifically for coaches, because obviously they don't have stats in the game. Coaches do have what I call fingerprints. Like, there are stats, like, we do look at things like flashbangs, utility usage. I'll tell you one area that's really disturbing. Maybe a fan won't be able to interpret this, Loz, so you're going to help me on this. On the flashbang one, I'll tell you what is really fucking disturbing, bro. Usually, you would think, right, if... Right, I'm having problems with roles. I'm having problems with firepower. You know, the one thing we can do, coach, IGL, let's get in that fucking lab. Let's figure out a bunch of strats. Let's figure out, let's get all the most OP flashbangs. Let's essentially, what I've always said is the real reason, if people don't know why I say people like Donk, Mono, CZ are impossible to play, is because normally any other player can be beaten using utility, crossfires, trading. Like, these concepts of Counter-Strike just work. So one of the things that's really disturbing here is, mate, the fucking flashbang graphic is a nightmare. This is terrible. Like, the people who are throwing a fuck ton aren't getting anything done. The others, I don't even know. How would you interpret this? Explain that. This looks really bad as a layman, mate.
Yeah, so the reason I wanted to include this is because, you know, I've spoken a lot recently about Spirit and how Spirit have managed to massively level up their game. And the thing they did, right, is Magix is still throwing the same number of flashes. He's always been a high-output flash user. But what changed is who he's flashing for and how effective they essentially are at being converted into kills on blind enemies. If you look at Liquid, like, no, barely to the right of the average are Elysian mobs for who's basically getting kills on flash players. And Shui and Ultimate are, like, right at the bottom of their respective flashbang volume, basically. So, like, Ultimate basically isn't throwing flashes nearly as much as the average AWPer, and Shui's doing a bit less than the average IGL. And as a result, like, yeah, this team just doesn't use flashes properly. Like, it's pretty obvious to me that they just aren't utilizing an aspect of the game that has been demonstrated, right, with teams like Spirit to just immediately level you up. So I don't know what the reason for this is, but like there are a number of things you could point to. Maybe Ultimate just, they're trying to make it as simple as possible for him to play the game, and so they just don't want to put flash lineups in his hands or something. Like, whatever the reason, clearly this five isn't working together, and this is just like evidence number seven that they can't seem to put something together that, for most teams, helps quite a lot.
As you say, the other thing that's damning here is Ultimate, bro. If you're not going to actually be that good shooting people with the AWP, be the best utility AWPer, be the guy who's the support. First of all, he's not even really doing that much. But I'll tell you something else that really blows my mind is if you look at this team, right, people would think, like, if you actually think early on when he used to have Twisters as IGL, the map that I think actually bought Ultimate literally 1 year extra in Team Liquid was when they just hard-forced Anubis, and on CT side he would push up really fast and get, like, a really quick kill before people expect. And it was working, actually. A lot of teams couldn't caught onto it really quickly. Then you... So, first of all, I think people have this perception when they see him get the kills of, like, he's in the action, he's mixing it up. And it's like, this is crazy, the amount of lurking he's doing here, bro. And then simultaneous, and this is why I want you to, like, bounce off this, is, bro, if you think of traditionally NAF in the best Liquid teams, well, everyone else is more aggressive, up-tempo, aren't they? The joke used to be they were fighting between themselves, between, like, Elise, Stewie and Twister, like, who got the aggressive roles, who had to be the semi-lurk. So if you were NAF, it was like, bro, you just get all day long. You can be Blame F if you want, mate. We don't mind. He's not even doing that. Like, what the fuck? He's not even the permalurk. And by the way, that's fair play to NAF. He's had some good fucking numbers considering he's not doing that. You'd assume he was baiting people in losses.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned earlier, right, that Liquid seem to have this part of their core identity now is having almost like a four-man pack, right? Like Molbs, Elise, Shuey, Ultimate, they are basically the pack, and Naf is the only one that's allowed to sort of go off the leash a little bit. And even among lurkers, yeah, like he's not doing it nearly as much as most lurkers, right? He's not really probing bomb sites as much. He's not really finding entries. So again, this is just another element where even though his numbers are looking a little bit better now, it's like, okay, how conducive actually are they to winning rounds? How conducive are they to improving this system? Because having your lurker be the best player on your team, or maybe you'd say Molbs is, but being like one of the most stable elements, right? Is probably one of the worst positions you can be in as a tier one Counter-Strike team, because your lurker is only as effective as the rest of the team can be competent, like with their map control, with their space taking, with putting pressure elsewhere. Because think about what you need if you're a lurker. You're lurking the A bomb site on Ancient, for example. If you don't have lane control, if you don't have mid control, there are two people holding that entrance. Maybe there's an AWP holding it, and you're not going to get them to shift until, you know, they take the mid control, until they pressure Donut, until they take Cave. You've got to have other things happening on the map that make your job possible. And for Naf, it's like he just isn't getting to do that because the rest of the system is failing, right? You mentioned Ultimate earlier as well. This is just a little bit of a side note. Obviously, I like looking at dual swing. That's my main stat. And I like breaking it down by specific weapons. Ultimate's AWP dual swing is really, really low. Like, it is really bad. And people say, obviously, you know, he's not a good AWPer. I don't think they realize that he is down there with, like, Sizzy, with, like, Cemetery looks a little bit better this tournament, but still, Cemetery's numbers pre this major were really bad. Brokey, like, that's the kind of grouping that Ultimate's in. And that's the kind of grouping that he's stayed in for so long now. And that's
even though, by the way, as you can see on the star points, where he's getting the star AWP resources, like he should be popping off, right?
It's not like he's not having AWPs dropped to him. Yes. Yeah, he's like dead in the middle of that group of AWPers.
Yes.
And like the annoying thing is, you look at players like Sizzy, you look at players like Grix, you look at players like Klim on MIBR, right? And they started off pretty weak. They had their struggles. But the difference is you've seen them progressively as they've had more experience level up massively. Like, yes. Cemetery has looked pretty good this major.
Yeah, yeah.
Even Sizzy's had a couple like MVP maps this major. When has Ultimate had that recently? When can you think of a time where Ultimate has put this team on his back and just carried? Like, maybe it happens every so often in like a completely irrelevant game. But basically, he just isn't that player, right? And it doesn't look like he's ever going to turn into that player. I don't think people realize how long he's been in this team now. He's not a new player anymore. His level is just known at this point.
Also, he quite literally, because this is one thing I want to make clear. Even I, with my narrative, have used an old narrative, I now realise, which is I always used to say, in Team Liquid, just like actually old Furia, they never were a team that played around the AWPer. The AWPer was just like, you get, my analogy would be, you know, if you have like a bunch of poppies, the reason one poppy doesn't grow as big as the others is because he doesn't get the food. The others all get in the trough and start doing it. Unless you could join in, it's a bit like some Mar talk shows, the others will fucking take up all the rest of the space, mate. You'll just be sat out there waiting for someone to call your name or to say, would you like some food? There'll be none left for you. Bro, that's not even the case. They are treating him like he is fucking Monacy, bro. And he has all the best CT and T, or basically best positions, because he's the AWPer. So it's not like even, by the way, Flashy is treating these players like they aren't who they are. Like they're all supposed to be their traditional roles. Like this should mean that Ultimate should be fucking banging, bro. This is unbelievable. He's not doing some Torshi shit, mate. He's in all the prime positions.
Yeah, it's just inexcusable, right? And the big thing is that we've gone through all these players now. There's not any one individual player that's default, right? And so I think the biggest issue Liquid have is that they don't even have one part of their team that you can sort of rely upon and say, okay, let's build around that. Like maybe you want to take Molbs, maybe you want to take Naf, I don't know. Even they're like kind of iffy, right? Because who knows how sustainable what they're doing currently is. And I've seen people say, like, maybe you pick up, like, JT and Try or something. It's like, okay, yeah, that's interesting. The coach is still a big problem, though. I still think you need a coach change on top of that.
That's why I've now added, if you notice, TC comes with them. I've just added him in the bundle, you know.
But I think a lot of people can see now, like, you almost need three moves to make this team relevant again. Or the alternative, which is definitely a massive hot take, but something I would love to see happen. I know everyone's out on Elige, that's why it's a hot take right now. I would love to see Elige go to Na'Vi in place of Imma. I think that would be a massive upgrade. Think about the kind of game that we've said Elige would benefit from, right? These kind of well-structured, by-the-book, flowchart-style CS. Think about the kind of CS that Na'Vi want to play. They want to play exactly that, right? Like, it's not a joke that during the, I think it was the Boomich era of CS that Na'Vi played, They literally used to say that they don't have like names for callouts. They used to call it almost like it's like a grid. They would be like, oh yeah, there's a player in C1 or something. Like, that's exactly the kind of thing that, again, thinking about what I reckon Elige is like, I think he would flourish in that environment. I don't think he's ever going to flourish here. I
No,
think this
no.
is just the end of the road.
Also, on the NAF point you made earlier, I also think there's a subtlety to that as well, which is, first of all, if the players that are going first, essentially aside from Malbs gets his, aren't actually creating the chaos and doing the damage and calming, especially, by the way. I always tell people this. In a way, the reason why I have mad respect, because people always think, why do you Glaze Blame F so much? Especially when he used to be the perma-lurker. Because basically, to me, he had that heavy god status where it's like, mate, your teammates are letting you down and your IGL's fucking up the game, but you just get two kills every round. Like, that's not baiting, that's skill. You're just like, in fact, I even think you're going into like very difficult situations and creating those kills. Because, as you say, put it this way, I'll just give an obvious contrast to people. Do people really imagine the second a Vitality jersey hit Rops's skin, he just went like, well, what's that? I'm back to peak Rops. No, what happened is he was in a team where he had fucking flames run in and do mad damage to people. Apex is a fairly aggressive player, he's calling up tempo strats. Then he has Ziwu, who's like a trade mid of the round. Fucking hell, mate. At the end, he's just going like licking his lips, like, right, now time to clean up. Now I know where everyone is. They've been damaged. They've been fucked up by the best players in the world. And then I'm just coming in to pick my moments, pick my timings. If instead, think of like a CS game. I'll give everyone the analogy. Everyone's played this in matchmaking. Do you know the reason why? Even though in FPL and pro games, we all love Mirage, isn't it nightmare fuel to play on T-side in matchmaking though? Because when no one will go in, you can't do anything. There is no such thing as lurking when everyone waits in B apartments and doesn't attack the B bomb site. At that point in time, all you're doing is 24/7 looking over your shoulder for someone fucking flanking you. You can't ever find a kill, by the way, because no one went in before you, and there is nothing to do. You're just facing five CTs with full health, full utility, or that lurking doesn't exist at that point in time. All you can do, by the way, is bait. That's it. Or you run in with the pack and die, which it seems like was what Nath's willing. His whole shit's like, right, well, fuck it, we're all running together then. Because I do think a lurker, this is why I said, if you ever get it so that your star lurker is the best player on the whole team by far, your team is probably semi-fucked, like, or it's at least mildly stunted as to how good it can be. Because logically, he shouldn't even have enough sort of food to eat at the end of the game to that degree, if you've done it right. Like, how much of it, again, how much of the middle of the round fucking up that this is the case? So I agree with you. It doesn't look like he even can lurk on this team, mate. I also feel like I can't even really know who Naf is right now. Like, actually, fair play, he's adapted a little bit, but could I even put him back to his own? I haven't seen him do it for a while based on this.
Yeah, I think that's kind of it, right? Liquid have just completely lost their identity. They've had a complete crisis of identity, and it's at the player level as well as the team level overall. Because, you know, we've mentioned that Flashy is a coach. Like, what kind of CS does Flashy want to play? I have no idea, because I haven't seen it. What kind of CS does Shuri want to call? Well, from the seams of it, bad CS. It's not even a style. It's just ineffective, right? And yeah, I don't think that Shuri is actually a terrible IGL. I just think that the pieces here do not work together.
And he needs the right coach, like you said. He needs the guy who's like simpatico, right?
Yeah, because he's had Cyclone in the past, and Cyclone, very hands-on, right?
Absolutely.
He was like one of the people nominated for Coach of the Year like a couple of years ago. And before that, obviously Ash. Like, I know Ash is currently working the desk. He's not necessarily in the coaching gig anymore. But when he was, how much praise did we put on that guy for what he was able to do with Gamer Legion, right? And it was fully deserved, by the way, because again, he's like Elige. He's one of these deep analytical minds, very, very good at looking at situations and using his sort of sense of pattern recognition and how many demos he's watched to kind of solve problems, right? It's all about problem solving. And in this team, there are more problems than anyone can possibly solve. And I will, this is a bit of an aside, but because we sort of mentioned the Blastos in Major, I would like to go back to the dual swing graph for the Blastos in Major. Because, okay, let's just stick on a little bit, right?
Let's all bow down to Frozen, mate. He's just the most unsung carry of all time, isn't he?
Yeah, there are two misconceptions I think people had about this Blast Major run, right? Because Frozen, yeah, he was giga carrying. Like, both sides, Frozen was doing everything, right? And not necessarily from that high resource positions either, which is, yeah, fair play.
It's simple, yeah. What can he do? Yeah.
And Elige and Rain on the T side were actually very, very solid players. Like, look, they had their issues on the CT side, but, you know, T side, arguably, in the spots that Elige was in, right, they're actually very, very hard to put up numbers like that. So Elige, at least in my eyes, this is enough evidence for me that he still, like, got it in him to be an effective T side player, even though people looked at that Faceit and thought, you know, he was terrible.
Yes.
And kind of the same with Simple, right? It was interesting that Simple just could not get it done on the T side, but on the CT side, look, he was doing all right. That's better than the majority of AWPers. And then obviously Kerrigan bottom left, because it's just how it goes.
By the way, if you're smart, you'll get ahead of us on this one. You know, top right, donk, where's fucking bottom left Kerrigan? It's an obvious subreddit, boys. Andy, your little bang, all the haters will be on there. Right, I'll tell you another angle, even though we're actually just using the spoiler, we can do whatever we want with this show. I'm now going to use this as a diversion to talk about Frozen, a player who's never played for Team Liquid. Hopefully never will. I hope he has a great career. Right, here's one thing about Frozen I have to say from this as well, bro. One of the biggest misconceptions ever about Frozen, and I played a little bit of it myself because I think I wasn't specific, which is, I always said, not that he's a hard lurker like Robs, but I always said he's a lurky type player, right? As in, he just doesn't want to go in first. And because then, this is the misconception, because then I pointed out that when Robs leaves Mouse, just like with FaZe, in theory, that allows you to be more lurky if you want to be. I think people took that as Frozen's a lurker like Matt Rops, who's like, that's really not what I just said. Again, I actually don't just add in extra words for no reason, guys. I tried to actually add them in to add nuance and subtlety, stop simplifying it down. So what this shows you, which is also why I hated, you know, I'm one of the few people who didn't like them kicking a leash out of FaZe. One of the first things I remember thinking was, this is also going to fuck up Frozen's game, because actually Frozen is more like middle of the pack type player, it looks like, who feeds off the people who going first. And by the way, because he has, by the way, if you were to design a player to have the aim to follow up and trade someone, he has like really, really consistent spray, pretty good like headshot. That's almost like the perfect profile to do that with those sorts of players, bro. I always thought like that's the part people have missed about this player. Like, he's actually a stud at what he does.
Yeah, I think HLTV actually nailed it, because I believe it was Nero that started using this term and made it fashionable. But they like using the concept of semi-lurk, right? And it describes a player that they're not necessarily always in the pack, but they don't get to live on the extremities either. They're not like a dedicated lurker. They basically get some permission to freelance, but then like later on into the round, they sort of group back up with the pack and they're a trade fragger. And that's exactly what profile Frozen has. That's exactly the profile that he's had ever since joining FaZe initially and playing in that lineup with Rops. Because obviously Rops is your like main lurker, or at least he was. And what's really, really interesting to me about this FaZe at the Austin Major is that it actually wasn't really Frozen that took over Rops' lurking duties. It was Rain. Rain became a lurker. He's, like, in terms of how far he's willing to go away from the pack, the biggest lurker on this team. And I know this is ancient history now, but it's fascinating to me.
That even seems, if I had to, like, I'll do a funny thing where I'm going to be half jokey, but there's a grain of truth to it. That even looks like, if you now look back at 2025, here's what it looks like, Loz. It looks like they were getting to the end of season one, and what they realised is, like, this team isn't going to win any titles. So they went, right, listen, Rain, I've got to be honest with you, mate. Shit, I'll get off the pot. You're probably going to get kicked at the moment with how things are going. So you know what? For the next, like, 2 months, you can just do it your way. What do you want us to do? And he was like, oh, cool, right, fuck all this, like, you know, like I have to go more aggressively in the game and I have to do all these things Kerrigan said. What I'm going to do is I'm going to lurk the whole time. I'm going to pretend it's 2014 or something and I'm the star player. And also, get me Simple. Fuck it. Just roll the dice. Bring him in. Get Brokey up. Because, by the way, people still never mention that part. They always try to pretend it was just the org that brought Simple in. They were all loving it. If you ever saw those vlogs, they're not good actors. They were elated to have a player that could do something when the fucking AWP rolls. So I always did wonder, because if you notice, right after that, when they got rid of Simple afterwards, they were like, well, what's the point? Have a raid anymore, get the fuck out. Like, it's like they gave him his last crack at it. Like, you know what, you can have a chance at not being a sacrificial element or a low resource player, but it didn't work. I'm sorry. And yes, even though a lot of us thought surely Rain could play some role, they were like, actually, I think he's done. I think they were cynical.
Yeah, I think without trying to co-opt this into a FaZe Clan episode, because it's so tempting to do that, right? Because Liquid and FaZe, there's so much interlapping between them at this point that you kind of can't talk about one without the other. I think that's absolutely right. And I think Simple, again, I mentioned it earlier, right? If you look at his dual swing, like, it doesn't look spectacular, but you consider that AWPing is hard in CS2, still, the level that Simple was playing at this Austin
major, it was good.
It was really good. And I remember I looked at his Leetify aim rating for all the maps he played at this major, and he was like the third highest player in terms of Leetify aim rating at this whole event. So Simple still has it, by the way. Like, I know people are completely out on him, but at least back then, he was hitting when he was hitting.
Yeah, yeah. And then, okay, right, here's one of the problems. The reason I also brought up that whole thing about Frozen is because if I was being an idiot who didn't know the industry, I'd go, Team Liquor's one of the biggest orgs in the world. They have loads of money. They have mega facilities. Why don't we just get Frozen? Why don't we say, hey, Frozen, come over and play with fucking Malbs and Elige. Feed off those guys. We'll sort that out immediately. Get another IGL. I would say get JT or something. Get TC. These can be fixes, right? One of the reasons already that I am actually, I thought this episode would get hard when we got to this point is, right, at the moment, I feel like you're in that situation that's really, really tough. FaZe themselves are in it, where it's like the name value, especially of your star players and the org, means you want to say, with like I always give this example. You might not like how Manchester United has done things the last few years in football, but one thing they've never lost is people still choose Manchester United, by the way, sometimes over like Liverpool or Manchester City. Like I've seen Chelsea, I've seen some crazy ones where teams that perform better, people are like, no, I want to play for Manchester United. I think I could be the one to bring them back to the top. No one thinks that about Team Liquid anymore. They are cursed as fuck. Like, so even though I would say get Frozen, mate, I feel like you'd have to do some BC game, like, lol, I'm pressing 5 multiplier on the salary. You'd have to do some other insane reason, because why would anyone walk into this? So as a result, you get into what is a really, really set of diminishing results, which is the reason why Thorin's suddenly gone to, like, wait a minute, recruit the passion UA / old call players, and you're thinking, that's a downgrade. It's like, who else is available, mate? Like, at least I'm trying to get a proven quantity. If I don't get them, I really am doing what plebs want, which is let's hit the shuffle button on Eastern Europe and just see what pops out. And by the way, we've already tried that with Ultimate. Like, I don't know that that's the move personally. So I actually think the hardest part isn't identify the problems. It's who the fuck can join this team. Who would you even think of? What sort of, cause, and also, you've made a very good point, by the way. If you don't have an identity, it becomes even harder to like A-B test and bring pieces in and out. Like, that's why I know what you mean. Even if you keep, you know what, even if you stretched it and you kept 3 players, because you've got to change IGL coach and a whole bunch about the structure, it'll never be this liquid. So whoever we're bringing in, we are starting from zero, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's even crazier when you consider that not that long ago, they were in like the playoffs of a major, right? Yep. The Shanghai major. That wasn't that long ago. No. That was like, what, a year and a half
ago? End of 2024, yeah.
Yeah, like, and obviously back then the conversation was, okay, well, NAF and JKS, they aren't really working together. Yep. Like, if we wanted to go above, like, maybe 8th in the world, we'd maybe have to... Now it's like, how do we stem the bleeding?
Yes.
How did we go from that to that that quickly, right? And it's just, you can follow the chain of changes, and it's like, any opportunity they had to upgrade Ultimate, they passed on. Yes. They ended up losing Twists in the end, because, I don't know, whatever reason happened there, right? And maybe we'll never get to find out.
Sure.
And it's just led them up to this point, where, like... I know everyone likes to bang on Ultimate, but unfortunately you do have to, right? Because they had so many chances to change him. And the joke about Liquid is that, like, Ultimate probably isn't even the best AWP in Liquid. I would say NAF is a better AWP than Ultimate. Like, AWP Jewel Swing agrees with me, by the way. Whenever he
pulls, people don't know, NAF can do that stone style where you just hit the normal shots and you don't have to be flashy. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so, like, what are we even doing here? Like, yes. You don't have any player that's, like, especially competent in any role. You don't have any particular identity. And, like, the name value, unfortunately, of players like Elige and NAF have suffered massively as a consequence. And I know I've defended Elige a lot throughout this episode. It does have to be said. Elige is still getting some pretty good spots. He is still, like, solidly a star rifler in this team. And he is underperforming. Like, if let's just go back to the very top graph, right, the overall performance one. Because, look, is Mulb's doing everything? NAF is about where he should be. Elige underperforming, Ultimate underperforming. Shui, I don't even want to talk about it. Genuinely.
By the way, the joke is, you know that individual at the beginning, that's actually Shui who's secretly GMing all the shit. And like, fuck, what the fuck is this? I know it's outrageous, isn't it? He's a double agent. I guess he is loyal to Europe after all. He's brought down NA. Well done, you've destroyed the whole region. By the way, there's one other angle I'm going to bring up as well, which is this. I'll tell you another area where I actually don't even think it was just about this major, bro. I actually think Liquid had a cynical element to why they changed the VRS region to Americas, which is in line with what I just said about the fact that you can't even get the big names to join your team. If we're an NA team, mate, we're not even trying to get Europeans. We're just going to get NA. And the joke right now in NA is, who the fuck do you sign? Like, again, I said it to people online. You might like the odd M80, like, upset, but which NA player from M80 are you putting into this squad in any star role? None? Like, 28-year-old Swisher? By the way, the Germans are the other ones that carry the team. Like, what are we doing? Like, I don't even know what NA players you can get for this team. That's also the crazy part. So, to me also, and I doubt they want to do this because they've just been through the PR nightmare of it. Do you make it international again and say, fuck NA? You just had to re-embrace being NA as your whole identity for the team.
And the other question is why? Because, again, everything we've mentioned about Liquid, right? If we were to group the problems together, it's a structural thing. It's like a cooling thing. It's like a supportive thing. Like, think about what's good about M80. They have a couple star riflers that are like strong individuals. How does that fix any of Liquid's problems, right? Yeah. It doesn't. And you don't look to NA because, to like M80 or whatever other NA team because they have like a strong cooler or because they have a great coach, right? The, NA has this problem all the way down.
Yes.
You know, they've got cracked riflers. I would say that even now, I would take that core of Mobs, Elysian, Naf over like any other NA core. I do think they probably are still the best players. But that's not the issue. Like, swapping one of these guys out for Lake will not fix anything. The only thing that will fix Team Liquid is swapping the coach and swapping the IGL. And ideally swapping the AWPer as well.
Yes. No, but by the way, this is also a bigger point if anyone's a fan of my content from the old days. Before the Liquids that were really good came along, and then Cloud9 bullshitted that major, which, by the way, didn't change Cloud9, it didn't make Cloud9 a great org. They just won a major, and it just happened that they hit the fluke peak for once. Really, it's Team Liquid 2019 and 2018 that you look at as like, right, they changed Counter-Strike for NA, because this was a legitimately world-class team. It wasn't just the best NA team. They were contending for number one, and they leveled the game up. I always tell people, think about what that team was. It was a super team. In fact, you even had 3 1-8 options, because originally Naf used to be a monster. You had Naf, Twist, and Elysian. You jammed them all into one team. It wasn't even, by the way, a perfect marriage. People will know now. And Elysian, Twist sort of fought over spots and resources at times. But as long as we fragged everyone in the head and we won the game, who cares, right? We can all go, we can figure that out. That could be for another day, as soon as we all drop our ratings into online, etc. So if you look at that era, right, what it actually tells you about NA, it's quite a rough, bitter pill to take. This is like that fucking famous cartoon, you know, the one where the guy digs in and he finds the scroll of truth or whatever. If you're NA, you're going to hate what this scroll says. You're going to throw it away because the scroll says you've never actually understood advanced top tier 1 level Counter-Strike and filled out all the roles. That's why you don't produce support players, you don't produce in-game leaders, and you don't produce coaches. What you produce is players who play a million pogs and they play like it's a pog. And even in pro teams, remember, they all stream the scrims nowadays, bro. I've watched the scrims of the modern day, they're still doing the shit from pogs of like, get a pick. That's a strat for them, bro. Get a pick on Mirage is a strat, and then you call a simple mid-round based off if we got the kill or not, right? That's not top-level CS, and if you play like that, one, you're going to have to learn CS if you join a real structured team, and two, you're not going to have any of these roles we need for Liquid. Like, as we're saying here, the real problem is the players we're keeping are all the players who play all those roles. Like, there's nothing free for an up-and-coming star rifler, like, and there's not that many of them, is there? There just isn't.
Yeah, it is really interesting, actually, how much people sleep on Naf, because, like, if people don't remember, Naf was one of the few players that would perform consistently against Prime Astralis. He was, like, the guy that would still hold his numbers against Prime Astralis. And the worst player on that team was, like, arguably either Nitro or Stewie, right? So, yeah, they were stacked in terms of firepower, and so they never really had to address these issues. I mean, for reference, Twist was, like, anchoring back then. He was, like, the other anchor to Naf. And I don't know if scarred is the right word, but apparently now he just absolutely refuses to play anchor roles ever again, and I can't blame him.
I actually think that's also beyond the personality why that he'll never see him play Elysia again, mate. He did it twice, and I don't think he's ever going to do it again.
They want to be the same type of player, right? They want to be the guy that gets to be, like, the guy in the mid-round, that gets all, like, the star rotator spots. And to be fair, fair play to both of them, because they are both fantastic at that.
And they can both justify it. It's one of those ones where that breakup makes sense, mate. That was a bad marriage, and they got divorced. Right, I've got one last angle to throw to you, and do anything you want with this. Another thing, it's actually, I'm glad you've outlined it like this, because I also said to people a lot when I was doing betting, if people haven't noticed, I used to love in the Twists era to take Liquid as an underdog, because they would get bong. They'd have like a tournament where they barely won any games, so they'd get a matchup where you'd look at the Vitor, like famously they actually used to match up well against that 2024 Vitality, if people don't know. There was like good teams they could match up. They've matched up against Spirit at certain times, and what would happen is if they had the right Vitor, because they had firepower, and at least in Twist's era they had an identity, Twists gets the carry, and then when Yekindai was there, Yekindai gets some too, because they were like fucking thick as thieves, I can tell you, right? At least that's an identity though. The reason why I told people I never bet on Liquid now, I don't put them in my pick-ems, I don't do shit with Liquid except hate on them, is because also, as someone, you know, my specialty is I love to go deep on the map Vitor. Bro, they have no map Vitor. They don't have one map they're even vaguely competent on. Like, every single map sucks. That's why you now see we've arrived at a very logical place where you can literally put Liquid against any team in, like, the top 30, and they could lose their own map pick. which is alien to think of names like this, because obviously part of what's warping this conversation is the names on paper. There's some legends in this team, bro. There's some of the best players in the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, and like, what maps do they even want to play, right? Because if you look at their map win rates, even their best maps at 50% win rate, that's where it caps. Yes. A coin flip is the best they can achieve. So we spoke about them having no identity. It's like, it goes this deep. It's crazy that we've only now gotten to the map pool conversation, because like, what is it that's special about this team? Again, you go back to that JKS and NAF era with Twist as IGL. Anubis was one of those maps where they could upset anyone on it. Like, they played.
They were like the original Aurora, bro. They were going hard at that map, if you remember. Yeah, for sure.
They could upset basically anyone on that map. It was like, if that map was in a series, there's a chance Liquid win it.
Yes.
And nowadays, it's like, what map? There are a couple of maps where if it's in the series, you already know they've lost it. It's the opposite, right? And yeah, I don't know. It's so depressing.
I would just say to people as well, we've now actually, even though it took longer for Liquid, Liquid has now entered the atmosphere of even people who are defenders of what FaZe was before Carrigan left, which is, the reason you hang on to the Bitrendi is because they're legends, or they were great players, or you even think they can be great players. So as a result, you don't want to give up. You keep holding on to for life, as it were. The problem is at the end, if you notice, mate, I can tell you, luckily, I have like behind the scenes relationships where I'm able to keep these things sort of sweet and it doesn't get too rough. I can tell you, people that when you've supported them as hard as I have, people like Carrigan and FaZe for that long, they don't like it when you become like their number one hater. But the problem is eventually you get on some fucked accelerationist tip of like, I actually need you to lose and I need you to know, I need everyone to know just how bad you are. Because otherwise, you're never going to make the, at this point, not change. You're going to have to actually like amputate a leg, mate. And we're going to have to put a robotic one on. Like, that's how far we're going. Like, I know you think that leg's still good. It's got nothing left, mate. We need to cut it off now. Especially, by the way, I'll extend the analogy. If you don't cut the leg off now, you get to where Liquid and FaZe eventually get, which is the gangrene takes over the whole body, mate, and now you're just dead. Like, I have to get a new body. You can't even be in here anymore, because I agree with you. I do think, just for financial reasons, you can't really start from zero. You can't kick everyone. You probably got to keep at least one or two. Also, if you are a Liege or NAF, congratulations. Here's why you being in Liquid again makes a lot of sense, because you are Mr. Liquid. So as a result, you get to stay. You will probably survive the cut, because we've got to have something for a fan to clomb onto in the new squad. But I do think Elise was actually very fair when he said that interview, where he basically said everyone including me can sort of get kicked from this team. Like, that is justifiable, except maybe Malbs, and even Malbs, what's he had, like a month and a half or something? Like, he hasn't really had a chance to prove that's going to be a long-term thing. So even though I understand we've ended the episode like, well, at the end, we know their shit, we've explained everywhere their shit, there's no answers, no one knows what will happen, might never even get fixed, I hope the circuitous journey we took in doing so, though. Do you have a final statement? I hope it was like interesting, sort of like the nuance of why it doesn't work, etc. Because I actually think it isn't at all that it's like they're random. Like, there's actually a logic to why they're bad.
Yeah, I mean, the final thing I would say is like hashtag save a Liege or something.
Yes.
But I don't know. I mean, look, NAF at this point, try an EU team, mate. Like, it's a good way to end your career.
Agreed.
Just give it a go. And a Liege, maybe roll the dice again. You know, you're too good for this team.
Since time immemorial, great artists have been supported by patrons who believed in their work and wanted to contribute to their efforts. Well, what's more fitting than the greatest esports content artist being supported by my patrons, the Skrilluminati? So this video and the others on my channel was kindly supported by Toucan, Nikki, Jason, Jensen Gore, and you know it, a special thanks always goes out to Jerky's Minion. Would you like to ask a question in my video AMA? Want teasers? See who the upcoming guests are? Maybe you want to suggest a topic or a guest for my content, or take part in one of those lengthy discussions where you get to set the topic. If any of these perks appeal to you or others, put your money where your mouth is and join the Skrilluminati today. Where? In the description box, there is a Patreon link.